Here is the week in Congressman John Faso news. Votes he took, positions he espoused, and protest rallies and town halls that he attended or not.
According to the website 538.com, Representative Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 90% of the time.
David Lombardo is reporting for Capital Confidential. U.S. Representative John Faso has joined five of his upstate Republican congressional colleagues to urge Governor Andrew M. Cuomo to remove the state's tourism signs along New York's highways. In a letter dated July 26, the group reminded the governor the state is risking $14 million in federal funding if it fails to take down the signs in compliance with federal regulations. The state spent more than $8 million on the I Love New York campaign. The State Department of Transportation maintains the signs are safe and will work with the federal government to resolve the issue amicably. In February, the Federal Highway Administration notified the state of its intentions to withhold federal highway funding if the state does not take the signs down by September the 30th. DOT spokesman Joseph Morrissey said, and I quote, "We believe these signs provide valuable wayfinding information to motorists and tourists. Out of respect for the ongoing process, we are not in a position to comment on the content or timeline of those discussions. However, we fully expect to have a mutually beneficial agreement in place well before the September deadline," end quote. Read the full story at Capital Confidential. Paul Brooks in the Times-Herald Record reports that there is a second advertisement on the local airwaves from a pro-John Faso political action committee that criticizes the lyrics on Antonio Delgado's 2006 hip-hop album. The ad from the Congressional Leadership Fund says, and I quote, "The liberal resistance has gone too far. Antonio Delgado is their candidate for Congress," end quote. The CLF says it did not coordinate the ad with the Faso campaign. Days after the Democrat Delgado won the June 26 primary to run against the Republican, Faso began the campaign by attacking the lyrics of the old rap album by A.D. The Voice. Then on July 13th, the Republican-backed Super PAC, the Congressional Leadership Fund, began paying for a radio advertisement airing locally in the Albany and Poughkeepsie media markets centered on Delgado's records and lyrics. As recently as July 26, Faso made a statement about Delgado's hip-hop lyrics. Now the CLF, the U.S. House Republican Political Action Committee, has a second radio ad on local stations about the 2006 recording. Delgado responded on July 27, saying, and I quote, "I again call on John Faso to disavow these divisive attacks. He should apologize on behalf of his supporters who created this hateful ad. John Faso's strategy is 100% predicated on his low opinion of his constituents." Dr. Gerald Benjamin, a SUNY New Platts professor, Faso's close friend, recently acknowledged the congressman's divisive use of race and respectfully apologized for his own commentary on the issue. Now it's Faso's turn, end quote. Read the full story in the Times-Herald Record. Richard Moody is reporting for Columbia Green Media. U.S. Representative John Faso has appealed to the Federal Communications Commission Chairman Ajit Pai on behalf of Eager Communications and its pending application to build a new communications tower on Eager Farms in Livingston. Eager applied to build the tower in 2007, and the project was approved by the Livingston Planning Board in 2013. The tower was intended to be used by county emergency services and 911 dispatch. In 2015, the FCC informed the Columbia County Board of Supervisors a proceeding to review the project, initiated by Scenic Hudson, was pending. Faso wrote in a recent letter to Pai, and I quote, "It is unacceptable that after nearly 10 years, the FCC has not decided on the proposal to build the communications tower to replace two existing outdated structures. This is a simple replacement and upgrade that is vital for our local emergency communications capability. Officials at the FCC must listen to local leaders who truly understand what their community needs," end quote. The county is currently leasing space on telecommunication towers owned by Eager Communications, along with a portion of an accessory building to serve the county's emergency communications needs. Board of Supervisors Chairman Matt Murrell said, and I quote, "The telecommunications tower located on the Eager property is crucial to Columbia County's emergency first responder communications," end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
The U.S. House is now on its congressional recess in August. Representative John Faso is back in the district on July 31st. He spoke with the Spectrum Local News channel. You can go to spectrumlocalnews.com and look for the John Faso interview he did there. We're going to hear part of it now.
Just briefly on this issue of tariffs right now that we see with President Trump. I know you have differed with him on tariff policy before. Are we seeing any impacts on businesses in the 19th district, especially on agriculture in particular, where that's really been kind of a sector that's expected to really take a hit here?
Haven't seen so many impacts immediately on agriculture. We don't have a lot of big soybean producers, for instance, although we do have some, and they're seeing price impacts in the marketplace already. Where I am seeing more impacts are on the prospect, and the fear in agriculture is that if we don't get out of this posture of trade wars, that some of our trading partners, Mexico, for instance, which imports or is responsible for 40% of U.S. dairy exports, Mexico could find other markets to purchase from. That's a big concern. I am seeing some immediate impacts on small manufacturers that use steel and aluminum, often, usually from Canada. The president is imposing these tariffs using a national security basis with Canada, and I think that's frankly far-fetched.
Does it seem like the administration has been kind of conflating what China has been doing, for instance, with not just importing and exporting, but also some of its currency valuation, product piracy, things like that, with what we have had a relatively stable trading relationship with neighboring countries like Canada and Mexico and the European Union, for that matter?
Well, let's be plain. We do have disagreements with Canada on a number of fronts.
Particularly on timber and dairy.
On timber and dairy, there are some distinct disagreements. The Canadians have a very different system in dairy. It's a price quota system, and we have a very different system in the United States. The Canadians have unfairly imposed tariffs on milk substitutes, milk products in the so-called Class 7 milk, which is often the hyper-filtered or ultra-filtered milk and milk powder products. That's been disadvantageous to New York farmers. The other thing, though, that the real trading issue, which I think the president's correct about, is the theft of intellectual property by the Chinese. They are voracious, and they are often not telling us the truth in terms of what they're doing. And so many of the requirements that they are imposing on U.S. businesses doing business in China are contrary to the agreements they've signed. I would have preferred the administration to combat this issue with China using the our NAFTA partners of Canada and Mexico, as well as the EU, to combat this, because we all agree on that issue vis-a-vis China. But instead, the administration is engaged in a broad front, multi-front battle on tariffs. And I'm very concerned. The history of tariffs is not a good one. And you always invite a counter-reaction. So while I think the president is on target in terms of wanting to get better agreements for us, I think this way of doing it is very uncertain to yield the results that we want.
And that is Representative John Faso speaking with Spectrum News. You can hear the full interview at spectrumlocalnews.com.
WGXC is comparing candidates in the countdown to New York's 19th congressional district election in November between incumbent Republican John Faso and Democrat Antonio Delgado, and both candidates are not fully transparent with public meetings. Faso has yet to host a traditional town hall meeting, taking questions from constituents in person. He has held two similar events with restricted rules on how many and who can attend and the format of the town hall. Delgado says he has signed the hashtag town hall pledge to hold at least 4 town hall meetings per year and currently holds public events that are similar to traditional town hall meetings. Faso used to update a public schedule on his website, but not usually until moments before any public events were beginning. Now he is silent on most future appearances, but occasionally posts photos of public appearances after the fact. Delgado posts future events on a social media website, Facebook, that requires a subscription and is accused of, at best, letting trolls, foreign agents, and bots interfere with the political discourse before the 2016 election. Ariel Zangola is reporting for the Daily Freeman. Election officials said July 31st that three independent candidates have filed petitions to run for the 19th congressional district seat. Petitions for Lucia Parker of Calicoon were filed July 27th. Petitions for Diane Neal of Hurley and Dal Lamanga of Clinton were filed July 31st, according to the State Board of Elections. Parker's name will appear on the Making the Impossible Possible party line, while Neal will appear on the Friends of Diane Neal line, and Lamanga will be on the Hudson Valley Happiness line. Objections to the petitions can still be filed. Parker is the Prevention Services Coordinator for Catholic Charities Prevention Services of Orange and Sullivan Counties. Neal is an actress best known for her roles on NBC's Law & Order Special Victims Unit and CBS's NCIS. LaMagna founded the Tweezerman Company, which he sold in 2005. In addition to the independents, incumbent first-term U.S. Representative John Faso, a Republican from Kinderhook, is being challenged by Democrat Antonio Delgado of Rhinebeck, Green Party candidate Steve Greenfield of New Platts, and Libertarian Party candidate Victoria Alexander of Dutchess County. Election Day is November 6th. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Ariel Zangla is reporting for the Daily Freeman. 19th Congressional District candidate Democrat Antonio Delgado has been endorsed by former President Barack Obama. Delgado was one of 81 Democratic candidates nationwide to get the nod August 1st. Obama said on Twitter, and I quote, "Today I am proud to endorse such a wide and impressive array of Democratic candidates, leaders as diverse, patriotic, and big-hearted as the America they are running to represent," end quote. Delgado and Anna Kaplan, a Democrat running for state Senate in the 7th District, were the only New York candidates endorsed by the former president. Delgado of Rhinebeck is seeking to unseat first-term U.S. Representative John Faso, a Republican from Kinderhook, in the November 6 election. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. The Fence Post reports that Senate leaders named nine conferees of the Farm Bill August 1st and Kirsten Gillibrand did not get picked. Senate Democrats put the less senior Senator Heidi Hancamp of North Dakota on the panel to work out the differences between the House and Senate versions of the Farm Bill. Hancamp has a tough re-election this fall in a state in which agriculture is particularly important to the economy, while Gillibrand represents a blue state where she is expected to win in November against Republican Chili Chiavecchi Farley. Congressperson Paul Tonko, who represents all of Albany County and a part of Rensselaer County, was named by Nancy Pelosi to the conference committee July 19th. Representative John R. Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, did not get named by Paul Ryan among Republicans on the committee that will attempt to work out the differences between the versions of H.R. 2, the Agricultural Improvement Act of 2018. Read the full story at the Fence Post.